We are back for another analyst interview, this time sitting down with Matty G from Insight Fantasy Sports. We have our little beverages ready to go. He has a Tim Tam. His baby, or not baby, his small child is asleep. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Well, welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Is where I am. We are doing another analyst interview show, recording at night, so a little bit different. Most of the time I'm recording early in the morning, but having a fellow Australian on the show, we are doing this. We're missing State of Origin for this, so any Aussies that are watching post-recording, appreciate the time and the love that we're putting into this by missing State of Origin. Maddie, thanks for squeezing me into your nighttime schedule.
My absolute pleasure. When you said that, though, you were going with the Tim Tam and the drink and the small child. I thought you meant the cat that had jumped onto my lap just before we recorded. I'm like, yeah, she'll be asleep, man. How you doing? Good to see you, Kingy.
Yeah, no, good. We had a pretty lengthy conversation before we came on air, as we often do. And getting ready for the Olympics. I love this time of 4 years, every 4 years when the Olympics rolls around. And the Boomers had a good win this morning against Serbia. So, I don't know. We're looking okay for the Olympics. We're in a tough pool. But, I just love all of the Olympics, the random sports that you don't usually get to see. Favorite sport for you?
Oh, synchronized swimming. I know nothing about it. No. I would probably say, like, just seeing sports that I've never thought, like hammer throw, just watching hammer throw, I think is fun as hell. People just hurling things through the air. Diving, it still blows my mind. Just watching how little the splashes get. And I'm like, come on. Like, that's just, it's incredible. And do you know the shit that you can't do yourself when you see other people do it so incredibly well, which is everybody who's an Olympian? It's awesome to watch. What's your favorite sport to watch?
What do you tune in for? It's probably athletics. Just track and field. I did it a lot growing up. So I just love watching the sprinting, most of the field events, even the long distance at that level. The long distance events are still entertaining. So athletics, I would say, and swimming. I really enjoy the swimming as well. Australia's
I think growing up as an Australian around Olympic time, and the Olympics starts off with the swimming, and we've always had such strong swimming squads. It just kind of fires up Australia for the Olympics more so, because it's like the first big batch of events is, you know, it goes from the pool to the athletics track. So we always get to kick. It's great to see on like day three that Australia is winning the Olympics.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, come on. Yeah.
Doesn't last great. Long. We're doing
it doesn't last long.
No, our medal tally is always pretty good at the first week. And then we get some random like archery and sailing gold medals, things like that to at least keep us in the top. I feel like we're top 10 every time.
I think we do okay.
We're up there, but we can't compete with China and the US and that sort of thing.
No chance.
Anyway, this isn't an Olympics podcast. This is a fantasy basketball podcast.
It is.
So, yes, another interview. Unlike a lot of my guests, I know the answer to most of these questions because we've been doing stuff together and we talk all the time. But as I do with all of my interviews, let's start with the fantasy basketball side of things. And how was it that you got into fantasy? Well, fantasy basketball, but obviously Insight Fantasy Sports cover a range of sports.
Yeah. We, basketball has, I guess, been in my blood since I was a kid. So I guess when you love a game and you're passionate about a game, you just find ways to be involved and follow it or to be around it, to love it and appreciate it more than anything else. And I found myself doing that with basketball And like you said, like off air earlier, you're talking about Leonard Copeland and how we didn't have Summer League and all this access to media when we were kids. You know, growing up in like the 90s in Australia, basketball just really hit big. Like it was the Jordan era. It was the fading stars of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know, Shaq just came onto the scene. You know, like Hakeem Olajuwon, like these legends of the game. So it was a different time. And that's what really just like fueled my fire. And then I just got into fantasy. Like someone said, do you play fantasy? And I was like, nope. Like, do you want to? Sure. And then you realize how shit you go when you just try and draft your favorite players all the time and you don't think about it tactically. So, you know, I was a victim of that like anyone else. And that got me into fantasy, which was long, long, long before Insight. Which is, yeah, just been its own amazing beast of guys.
And how did Insight come about? That was with, I know most of the guys that you're obviously doing your shows with, Skitty, you're on with regularly, but were they guys that you knew before getting into Insight?
Mate, it was about basketball as well. We all met during COVID. So Matrix, who leads our NRL show, shout out to him. Him and I were playing NBA 2K. For a Court Conqueror challenge, we were trying to get a LeBron James jersey playing NBA 2K.
Okay.
And you know, when you're just in random park games and you hear voices on the other end, it was a distinctly Australian voice, which you don't always hear. And I'm like, oh, mate, are you Australian? He's like, yeah, I'm Australian. He's like, I'm like, whereabouts are you? I'm like, he's like, Toowoomba. And I'm like, Sydney. And so he's like, oh, geez. And I had family from Queensland and Gatton and Laidley around that area in the Lockyer Valley. And he was like, oh, mate. And so we ended up talking. We added each other as friends on PS. We played some games. He added me to a group of guys. We played NBA 2K with like a my team thing.
Yep.
And they were called the Molten Lads. So it was this Molten chat, which in Australia, if you know, is Moltons of like basketballs and footballs. And it's like our Spalding and Wilson. So Molten just naturally evolved and everyone just loved fantasy sports and super coach for the AFL and the NRL and NBA, obviously, NFL. So everyone was just really heavily involved in this other world of media. And so we always just used to, what we do now on air is pretty much what we were just doing in our chats. We started with our NRL and AFL shows with Matrix and Braino. Early last year for last season's NRL, and then Horse and Rob Hawk, SC Hawk, they started off AFL. Skitty's come onto the AFL as Hawk had to step away. And then Matrix and I and Skitty and Horse, and we just all love the NBA. So that's where we are now from basketball. It's like it all started with 2K, to be fair, and COVID times.
Yeah. It's interesting. Actually, a few of the guys I've spoken to in this series of the interviews, COVID played a pretty big role for them as well in sort of, I guess, sitting at home, nothing to do and transitioning the what was a hobby into something a little bit more. And we're lucky that we get to do that. I mean, I know from my perspective, my wife is very understanding, as I assume yours is as well. So shout out to the wives or the partners.
Shout out to the wives. Like, I mean, I don't think we could do this without our wives and our partner supports. God, no. And I think that goes for everybody. Like when you do this after hours, because we have, most of us have full-time careers. I mean, our guy, Joshy Lloyd, like he's like supreme in this industry. Like he has this is his life, his business, his full-time job. Yep. For us, we have that same passion that he has for it, but we have our full-time jobs. You know, so the one thing that you find in fantasy basketball analyst world is the love and appreciation of the game, no matter if you're him or you or me or anyone out there, even just listening, that the passion for fantasy basketball is just real and tangible.
It is. And yeah, he is. I mean, the dream is obviously to do sports stuff full time, but that is not the case in for me and for you. And so I guess shifting away and having a look at what life looks like for you when you're not doing this. Again, I know the answer, but what is it that you do to make the money to allow you to do this?
I'm an educator. So I am a teacher and I oversee co-curricular programs and wellbeing within my school. And I'm an educator. I have a passion for teaching and learning just as much as I do for fantasy basketball. I was a national brand manager as well. So I come from a marketing background, but I love teaching. I started off corporate And then I was like, hey, there's something missing. And I wanted to be a teacher. So I did that. Yeah. I took myself, I left my career and went to university and was a pub manager and managed a bar on the weekends to put myself through to uni to become a teacher full time. And I worked in radio for many years. So shout out to anyone on the Gold Coast from Hot Tomato up there and CFM and Nova in Brisbane for the Nova networks around the place. So that was really fun. And I did that, basically putting myself full time through, man, even my first couple of years of teaching, I was doing radio on the weekends as an extra bit of crust side. So yeah, man, it's I love that. And that's what pays the bills. And, you know, I do this as well. So this helps pay some stuff on the side and, you know, it's but it's just something that I love, really.
Yeah. And now you're doing your master's.
I am.
That seems dumb to me, but I do know of quite a few people actually at my work that have gone back into study. What was there a reason for that? Was it just punishment or?
I'm a glutton for punishment. No, just a sicko. I'm just a sicko. No, look, I wanted to like as everything, like with what we do, like we have to refine as analysts how we look at the game and how we do that. And in teaching, you know, I think it's very easy. I think education gets a bad rap from some people and the love of and the professionalism of teachers, unfortunately, sometimes has a negative stereotype in our media. And I'm not saying it's not without cause in some places, but it's not the cause that it's made way severe. There's people in any jobs that maybe shouldn't be there, sure. Yeah. But the educators that I know are deeply passionate, care about kids, care about teaching and learning, and want the best for everyone. And that's something that I want to make sure from an executive level that I can do within schools and within policy and curriculum. So for me to apply myself to a master's in teaching and learning leadership is something that I feel is important for me to progress and to also help progress education and how it's seen.
Yeah, and it's, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this isn't about me, but in my role helping and running Autism Information Service here in Australia, we get a lot of calls from families who are at sort of, I guess, at loggerheads with their school for whatever reason. And I find I'm able to relate quite well to those families because of my teaching background. I'm able to put my teaching hat on and try and explain things to them from the school's perspective. Because often teachers, they're stressed, they're under pressure, there's not enough of them, and they're dealing with hundreds of kids on a daily basis. And sometimes the interactions between a family and the school is at the end of the day when the teachers
it's too combative. It's too combative because it's like the holy, like you can, it's the holy trinity. Like is this a teaching podcast? See, for me, like I think it's anything. Like if any relationship you have, it has to be three parts. You have the teacher-student relationship, you have the teacher-family relationship, and you have the family with the school relationship. And if everybody in that triangle, basically, in that hierarchy is working for the same ultimate goal, which is the care, the knowledge, the learning, and the personal and academic growth of the young person in their care, then there should be nothing ever that causes that much friction that it comes to those things. And that's a shame when people like, it's sad when you see that happen or you hear those stories. And again, this is why I'm doing my master's, to help facilitate within schools in a leadership role as a principal one day to help that be less of the case.
Yeah, and that's right. And I try to get into schools and I do stuff as well. I'm off to Melbourne in a few 2 months, I think, to go into a school for a week to run a program to help the teachers, to help the students. And so, it is unfortunate, but it happens. And as you would know, it's a lot of it is just so there aren't enough teachers.
There's not enough teachers. And then with not enough teachers, there can be not enough learning support. And again, if it was, look, teachers say, if it's not in it for the money, whatever. Like teaching doesn't earn bad money. You actually earn pretty good money. Like it goes up. It's, you know, we earn good money. But no one just goes in there every single day unprepared, not doing their work. Like you've got to be prepared to be a teacher because the one person who knows that you're not ready is the kids. Like, the kids know. And you go in there prepared, you have your lesson, you have your goals, you have your learning outcomes, and you have a commitment to them and to have fun as well. Like, man, what happens in a classroom every single day is magic. Like, truly, dude, it's the most rewarding thing in the world to me is my kids every day. In apart from my family, my work is rewarding. My fantasy thing is rewarding. I'm pretty blessed like that. Like, I think if we think about it from that, like what we do is what we love. Like we just feel better about what we do.
And a seamless segue into family. You have your family at the moment, your wife and your child who just went to sleep. So, I mean, what is it like, I guess, spending time with the family? Do you have any, is holidaying, vacationing, whatever we want to call it, is that something that you guys like doing as a family unit?
Yeah, we do. Like, man, my little munch is 18 months old. His name is Grayson, not after Alan, probably more after Dick Grayson, the original Robin, anything else. Or I was rewatching Orville the other day, and I actually think that I may have named my son after Adrian Padalecki's character from the Orville. I did not know she was like a Commander Grayson. I was like, oh, Jesus. I was watching that when I was thinking of his name. Anyway, it might have been subliminal. But yeah, we love vacationing. He's 18 months old. We haven't done much of that. In fact, there's one place we've stopped a couple of times called Nambucca Heads. So I'm from the Gold Coast, and my wife's family is in Albury Wodonga. So we do a lot of road trips. So we drive up to the Gold Coast, and then we'll drive out to Albury Wodonga. And we stop at Nambucca Heads on the way up there. And man, that's just a sweet little spot. Beautiful little restaurant down near the water there called Matilda's. There's this gorgeous little cove beach and these painted rocks. So yeah, we love it. And beach is something that we love. Like, I've grown up with my wife. It's one of her places that she recharges. But yeah, man, we love vacationing and holidaying and just spending time with him doing stuff. Cause he's everything is amazing when you're 18 months old. Like, ball pit, you point at the ball pit and he's like, and then you just it's amazing. So yeah, love that.
That's right. Well, everything's new, everything they're discovering. So and I guess prior to having kids, when maybe you had a bit more flexibility to be able to travel, any sort of highlights from just you and your wife traveling or you yourself?
Oh yeah, my wife, for me, my wife and I, definitely Amsterdam and Paris with my wife. That was amazing. That was her first trip to Europe.
Yep.
That was incredible. We had an amazing time going over there to a wedding of two friends of mine in Holland, in Scheveningen. Scheveningen? I can't say it, man. It's if you're Dutch, you can say it.
My
it's
this wife place is Dutch. So there you go.
Ask her about it. There's this beautiful place. I think it's where the UN headquarters is or something, like some of their political offices. And there's like war bunkers on the beach from like the wartime, like literally still like World War II bunkers in the sand. It's got this big Ferris wheel there, and apparently when there was like double like spies, you can know if they were a German spy or not because they couldn't say Scheveningen like the correctly, and so a Dutch or a counterintelligence spy would be like blah blah, oh yeah, we're going to where, oh have you ever been to Scheveningen? No, I haven't. And then you'd get them to say the word somehow, and they'd be like spy. But yeah, man, I love Europe. Going there with her, she's into like fictional romance and history books as well. Like, you know, those like Henry and the court of the old courts of England. So we got to go to you know, the Henry VIII's house, like Windsor Castle. Got to go down to, no, not Windsor Castle. That's the Queen's one. The other one. I can't remember the name of it. Like with the garden and the maze. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I love traveling with my wife. She's like incredible. So like just doing stuff with her is awesome. So yeah, love Europe. And yeah, and the other highlight of me would be San Francisco, just a gorgeous place to have gone to and stayed by myself, I guess.
Yep. Somewhere I'll be visiting this time next year. I might be in San Francisco. So fingers crossed.
Where's your favorite place? Where do you trip to? Where do the Kings trip to?
I mean, we've done Europe a couple of times. Obviously, America for me, just the sport. Like the trip we did last year, Summer League a few years ago, was fun. Like it was just going and being immersed in NBA and basketball and that sort of thing was great. But that's a trip I did with a friend, not my wife. So she has zero interest in going to America. So I don't even bother asking. For us, I mean, we've done Europe a couple of times. First time was our honeymoon. Second time was last year with the kids. So two very different trips.
Yeah.
So, and look, they were fun. There's places that we haven't been. So she's already planning our first trip. Well, potentially our first trip without the kids. So post kids for our 50th. And we're planning on going to Scotland because we want to do more of Scotland. We did a little bit.
Like the castles and stuff like that?
Yeah, just Scotland itself was just a really nice place, easy to get around. People were nice, good beer, good meat pies. So Scotland, but we want to go and do like Norway, Finland, Iceland. Oh. And she's already looked at, I don't even know what they're called, but they're like these big sort of glass igloo things, which do you sleep
igloos
in,
with the northern lights. The Auraria. Yeah, the Auraria. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Are you married to my wife as well? Do we have the same? my wife has seen that. Like, that's, I think the Aurora Borealis is like.
Yeah, that I thing.
Think,
yeah.
Yeah, the northern lights. I think that is both on our bucket lists. And you see those ridiculously stupid influencer videos where they do like those little TikToks. Yeah. Like, this is my hotel. And you walk in and it's like, It's like a Bond villain lives there.
Yeah.
It's like a Swiss chalet with like just standing in like a glass menagerie. It's amazing. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be amazing for you guys.
It will be. Yeah. And she's already looked at prices and all sorts of things. So that'll be happening. So I'm assuming that'll be fun. In terms of within Australia, I mean, we do like to travel a little bit. We are off to Perth in a few weeks,
gorgeous.
Oh, two months, 7 weeks, something like that. I love Perth. I haven't been there for a long time, but it's probably nice one of my favorite places. And I mean, her parents live at the South Coast here in New South Wales. So we just like going up there for the day or for the weekend.
It's nice. The coast in Australia, for anyone listening internationally, who's taking our travel advice, by the way. The eastern seaboard, the western. Actually, if you go over to Perth, you need to get down to the very southern area, Esperance, Matthew Flinders Bay. That's one of my favorite trips I've ever done, because here's a random fact. I used to do, like, my best mate used to work for FHM and Maxim magazine and that, like, EMAP publishing. So he used to do travel things. So I used to go along with him while he was writing the articles, and I would be taking the photos as the photographer, and he would just find a way to smuggle me on the trip to go with him.
Yeah, nice.
And so we went down to Esperance with Garth Tander, who was on a four-wheel driving track, and it was the most incredible landscape in the world. So if you can get down there while you're over in Perth, Esperance, Uluru as well in Australia here.
Yeah.
That's my wife and I went there just before, like the year before our son was born. That was just truly incredible. Like that was just breathtaking. Would do it again.
I haven't done Uluru. I've done Darwin. And I know my wife, just before we got together, I feel like it was very, very, very shortly before, like months before we got together, she actually hired a camper van kind of thing and drove around Alice Springs, or like did the whole Northern Territory by herself camper trailer for 3 weeks or something. So
Put it on the radar. It's like we did a camelback ride at sunset, and like just looking at like the rock, like Uluru is incredible. And we walked the whole bay, so we didn't do the half thing. Like, we went around the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's a billabong at the bottom of Uluru.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah.
Like, there's this, and we saw some Indigenous kids from the area sliding down it. Like, they, you know, as a waterfall, they were sliding down this little rock face and plunging into this little billabong thing. And like, you don't expect to see this little bloody oasis in the middle of the desert.
No, you don't.
was, and so yeah, mate. All of like, they Australia wise, it's stunning.
Yeah. There's a lot to see. I mean, Australia is obviously a really nice place, and you could easily just travel within Australia and still not do everything in your lifetime. There's so much to see.
100%.
So I guess sticking away from the fantasy space, movies, TV shows, because they're two things that I really enjoy. Most nights I'll be up watching a movie by myself when everyone else is asleep. Any particular genres, movies, TV series that stick out for you as favorites?
No, that's a, I have a top five with a bullet list, and nothing's kind of superseded that. And I, and in my top five, I don't put sagas in. So there's no Star Wars in my top five because I'm not bringing Empire Strikes Back into like being like, you know, a GOAT or Godfather 2 doesn't count because it's part of a series. So I have like my top five, which is pretty eclectic, I guess you could say. It's a Wonderful Life, the old vintage Hollywood Christmas film. Yep. So my top five, it's like a top six, and there's like a movie that I bring in and out, would be It's a Wonderful Life, North by Northwest, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is the wild one, Big with Tom Hanks. I love Big. I think it's just like one of the best movies of all time. And Donnie Darko or Chasing Amy. Depends on the day. Okay. Chasing Amy is a personal like fave. Just I've got to meet Kevin Smith before as well, so that's just been that was a bit of a thrill. And then Donnie Darko interchanges there, but I just love cinemas. I'm like so excited for Wolverine and Deadpool next week. Like love all the Marvel things. I'm a comic book geek as well. You can't see, like here you go. I got like my Chase Doctor Strange Pop Funko figure right there. So man, Stranger Things TV wise, I just love good entertainment. I'm binging like Jake Gyllenhaal and Presumed Innocent right now is incredible on Apple TV. Dark Matter was just on. Orville, I'm rewatching that again. That's actually a really just a great show. But man, I just love good like you, I'm assuming you just love good entertainment.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it'd be really hard to come up with a top five list that actually stays the same. Like there'd be, I'd go, oh, that movie, I forgot about that movie. It's so good.
Nothing's shaken me from that five or six, man, for a long time. There's been nothing that I've walked out of cinema wise being like, oh, Oppenheimer. Oh, it's top five.
I didn't mind Oppenheimer, but
it was good. Inception flirted with it. Inception was probably the last modern movie that I think flirted with it for me. Like that was insane. I love that. So but I like classics. I like classics. So for me, good cinema.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I tend to sort of have horror as its own genre because I love horror, the genre.
You love your horror.
I wouldn't include horror movies in my favorite movies because there's too many of them. One that it's sort of borderline horror, but I don't count it as a horror because I want to count it as one of my favorite movies, and that's Shutter Island.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Yeah. So
was that Scorsese?
Yeah,
that's a good, that was a great movie.
For me, I think a favorite movie is one that I can just watch over and over again. So even if I put it on and I've seen it multiple times, I'm still going to stop what I'm doing to watch it, even though I know exactly what's coming. So that would be in there because that has my attention. Another one is The Burbs.
Oh, The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
It's in my rotation.
He's one of my favorite actors of all time. I have a funny Tom Hanks story. Anything with Tom Hanks, I'll eat it up. Like his old stuff like that, like Money Pit, even with Shelley Long back in the day.
Yep.
Like those were incredible movies. Do you have any other movies that like go out, like bump out like that where you have to bend the rules for? Because I have one that I had to move out of my top five because I wouldn't break my rule.
The Lord of the Rings movies for me are ones that I wouldn't include. Same reason for you, because I like all of them as a series. It's not, I prefer one over another or anything like that. So I wouldn't include them. I don't include the American Pie movies because they are peak. For me, they're peak. Like when they came out, I was 20. I can just watch them.
They were cult movies at the time. Like they were so, I don't think people get, because people don't, like people binge things on TV now then talk about it on social media.
Yeah.
To be getting emails from friends overseas and to be getting texts and like messaging people on message boards about these kind of movies back like 20 years ago, it was like Shannon Elizabeth being like the goddess of goddesses at the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's a different world now. I get it.
It is. I don't know. I mean, a movie that enters my rotation usually around September every year, and I'll watch it a few times, is Draft Day. And that's because we're getting into fantasy draft season.
Yep.
So me and some mates, we always watch draft day.
I'll drive out
fantasy draft.
I'll drive out for that one. Yeah, that's great.
There's others. But
I think a sleeper for me, the one that I had to move out of my top five list was Unbreakable. M. Night Shyamalan. I think it's one of Bruce Willis's best ever performances on screen. But it's part of a trilogy. That's the thing. Yeah. And then they did it. And then he did it. And then I had to move it out of my top five. That's the problem with it, because it fits like the Glass trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, we could. I'm sure we could talk for hours about movies, because I have so many, and I'm actually off to the movies next Monday to see Long Legs and Maxine. So two horrors.
I can't wait to see Maxine. I only saw the trailer for that today. That looks good. That cast is incredible.
I rewatched X last night, and then I'm going to Pearl tonight, potentially after the footy, if I'm awake enough. to see Maxine, because I love the first two, so I'm hoping that the third one is just as good and long.
Can I ask, is it all following the same person?
No, it's not, is it?
It's the same writer and director, and that girl in it is like his starlet. Like, she stars in all of his movies, yeah?
Yeah. So X is the first movie, and it's sort of set in the middle of the two of them. And so Mia Goth is the main person in it. So in X, she plays Maxine. So she is the Maxine character, but she is also the Pearl character. So she plays the old lady in that movie as well. So she plays two characters. And then Pearl is about Pearl when she's younger, and then Maxine is after X, Maxine's story. So two different people, but the same actor. So it's interesting, but they are good. So it's I'm hoping that the next one is good reviews. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that today, and that cast was incredible. I was like, I have to watch this.
We'll go and see that on Monday, and we went back on movies. God, we went two weeks ago, not last Monday, Monday before. We went and watched Furiosa, so the new Mad Max, or part of the Mad Max, and it was unbelievable. It was so good.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, which again, I'm not surprised. It's George Miller. It's such a unique take on the world, post-apocalyptic kind of world, set in Australia. It was phenomenal. So
it's what he's crafted his career on, this Mad Max thing. So when it comes to these movies, like, this is why Fury Road is so good. And people are like, oh, it's not as good as Fury Road, but it doesn't need to be as good as
I liked it as much as Fury Road, and I love Fury Road.
Road is like an apex predator. It's like you're then like talking about which is the more aggressive shark, if that makes sense. They're both at the top of their game, but one of them has to be better than the other. I'm like, not really. It's like, who are you taking number one? And like, Victor Wembanyama or Nikola Jokic. Well, they're both really bloody good. Doesn't matter.
That's right. Yeah. So it was really good. And then I think we'll go next week and watch Twisters, because I feel like you have to see Twisters on the big screen.
Can I just be honest? If I don't see a cow randomly in a Twister going and just going past, I'm just going to be so upset. Like, that joke is just sitting there for a new generation to see.
Oh yeah, it is. It is. And then Wolverine, obviously.
Yeah. We'll go and see Deadpool and Wolverine next Wednesday, 6:20 p.m. Opening night, VMAX in the middle of Sydney, 8 people.
Yep.
Good friends all sitting there for it. We see all the Marvel movies on opening night together. So, I'm really excited for a return to form for them.
Let's move away from movies and TV show onto food. Probably something else we could talk about for hours as you scoff down your Tim Tam. Favorite food. Is there a favorite for you?
Mum and G's lasagna. Okay. Yeah, my mum's lasagna, hands down. That is my favorite food. My wife made this weird salad. And I weird makes it sound bad. She's like, when we were first dating, she's like, I'm gonna make something. And I'm like, you didn't say you're gonna cook me dinner. You said you're gonna make me dinner. That's a bit. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna make something. One of my favorite dishes. And it was a lychee salad.
Okay.
And my wife makes this lychee salad, which is incredible. And I love that. But I think pasta and pizza for me are amazing. And ramen. Like, give me some like fried chicken ramen. And yeah, that's my sweet spot.
Yeah, a lot of people like pizza. That's been, I would say, if I did a poll of all of these shows and speaking to people, pizza would probably be right up there for a lot of people. And I think that's because it's so... well, it's diverse. You can have whatever you want on it. So it's really unique to your tastes and the flavors you like.
But pizza for me is like, I don't know, I think it's like I think it's a communal food. Like you always see your mates and, you know, you have pizza and you watch the footy or you go out on a date and you sit there and you share a pizza with like this you know, girl across the table from you, with this guy across the table from you, whoever you know. And but when you're a kid, do you remember the Pizza Hut, like all-you-can-eat restaurants?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Like, they were sizzler with pizza, dude. Like, you used to be able to just scoff yourself down with pizza, but you would sit there with a whole bunch of – I think pizza is, for me, it's like a communal food.
Yeah, like, I think so.
We're going to get pizzas. Okay, cool, come over, we'll get pizzas. Like, you should come in for my birthday next month. You should come in for the night to Sydney for my birthday next month. We're going to do a boys' poker night. And we just get pizzas. We just get pizzas, or I cook a barbecue outside and I whip up a salad on the side of it. It brings people together, man. So, yeah,
I'm all for that. It does. And yes, I do. I do remember Pizza Hut, and I feel like I've told this story before, but maybe it wasn't on
the
podcast. I remember vividly in high school year 11, year 12, people are getting their license, so you've got lunchtime. Hey, we're going to go for a drive somewhere to get lunch. For us, it was always McDonald's or Pizza Hut. They were next to each other in here where I live in Queanbeyan. And McDonald's had 50-cent cheeseburgers. So
I remember that.
We'd go with $5 and just get 10 cheeseburgers each because we were growing boys. And
a dream.
But the all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut was, I feel like it was $5.95. It was...
At lunch, it was like five.
At lunch,
This is before the days there was a word that existed in our lexicon called inflation.
Yeah.
And it was a $5.95. I remember when something like sizzler was like $8.95 for all you could eat
on
the side of like salad bar. But I think it was like $5.95 or $6.95 for lunch. It was super cheap.
It was. And just being like, we were all active, like 16-year-old kids, we would just go there and have so much pizza. And so I want to say
there was the pasta too. There was the meat, the spaghetti, and the white sauce one.
Yeah, and the chocolate.
And then because there was no rules, you can mix. There was no such thing as pasta segregation. You just put all of the pasta on, and then you put meat and the creamy cheese sauce on top of each other, and you mix it. It was like eating a lasagna on your plate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were. Yeah, putting the meat sauce on a pizza and eating it. But anyway, I want to say it was before. Oh, was it before COVID? I'm not sure if it was before COVID, but I had to go to, and only people who live in New South Wales will know where I'm talking about. I had to go to Orange. So the town, city of Orange,
great
which
wine.
Is sort of-
Great wine district.
It is. And we did have plenty of wine. So we took the kids. So I had to go there for work for a few days. So I said to the wife and the kids, hey, come along. Let's have a few days away. So we went to Orange. And I did my workshops and stuff that I was doing. And this was, as I said, COVID, maybe. So 3 years ago, 4 years ago, so recent, very recent. They have an all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut in Orange. I found
I'm Googling it immediately.
You can Google it. I don't know if it's still there.
I'm checking this out.
There, but it was.
Oh, my God. It's the first thing that comes up in the Google search.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Ever driving anywhere near that area, and
I just feel like I've gone in the hot tub time machine.
And I went in without the kids and the family. I just went in to see, do we need to book? What's going on here? And they said, no, you can just turn up for dinner. So we went in there and the kids could not understand my excitement. I took selfies. It was a whole experience. And
we walked
in and the first thing that hit me was the smell. It smelled exactly
the same.
Pizza Hut from the 80s and the 90s. It was phenomenal. So
I cannot – it has this smell of nothing that's quite yet cooked.
Yeah.
It's weird – it's not cooked. It's not cooked. But then you get there, and they now have wings. They have wings.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So it was. They were all ready to go. I'm like, I can't leave. I'm in heaven.
Kingy, I'm seeing the inside of it, and it looks a little bit dialed back from the old days, and a bit smaller. To be fair, lunch is $9.95.
Yeah.
And dinner is $14.95, or you can eat pizza and pasta and salad and wings.
Yep. And they had the chocolate mousse, exactly like
they had the chocolate mousse?
Yep. Yep. It was.
This is.
Yeah.
Is everyone driving Falcons and old Commodores back in the
Norwich? It was surreal. Like, it was stepping into a time machine going back because they still had the vinyl chairs.
They do. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so weird but so good.
I actually have a really traumatic memory from we used to go for my birthday sometime, and my mum had constantly told me that I was born. My mother has changed the time of my birth at least 3 or 4 times during my years. And I remember pulling up to Carrara. Shout out to the Gold Coast. There was this Pizza Hut right in the middle of Carrara. And we drove down there. And we got to the car park, and I was like, let's go. For out of school, it was in the afternoon. And my mum was like, no. And my mum, she's in a wheel. So my mum's been in a wheelchair since she was 13 years old. So my mum doesn't get out of the car quickly. And I was we were in this old car where you had to open the front seat up to get out the back, like an old Ford something, red car. And I couldn't get out of the back seat. I was like, come on, it's my birthday. I'm really hungry. Let's go eat. I want to go celebrate my birthday. And she was like, nope, we're not going until like it was in the afternoon. We're not getting out of this car until 4:57 p.m. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, that's when you were born. And I'm like, I was born at like 6:40 at night. I'm not waiting in the back of the car for the next bloody 2 hours. And my mum randomly, just because she was pissed at my dad, I found out later, didn't want to get out of the car and told me that I was born at the wrong time of day I had to sit my ass down in the back of the car.
Yep.
And I was like, what? I couldn't get out to get my pizza until like 4:57 p.m. because that's when you were born. I can still remember it. And I was like, I can smell that smell that Kingy's talking about. It's right there.
Oh, yeah. It's there. So if you're ever in Orange, anyone listening, if you're in Australia and you're ever driving through sort of inland New South Wales, and
you can get organic wine and or you can eat pizza.
That's right. Yeah, it was.
It's fantastic. A miracle. Yeah. It looks so normal.
I have photos. I have a lot of photos of myself there, and yeah, it was something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
I've got to ask about fantasy because I've just had the little alert go off in the back that two people have taken picks in our analyst keeper league in our dynasty league. Gary Trent and Peyton Pritchard have gone off the board, as well as Dennis Schroeder. How many picks deep is that, Kingy? It tells me that we're going – are we going 14 deep?
B-Dub set it up. I was only going to do like 8 or 10 rounds because I just thought people are just going to get bored and not want to do it. But I think he made it at least 12, maybe 14. So, yes, it could
it's
be going.
14.
It could be into going November. Like 420 deep. Yep.
I love this. This is great.
There you go.
This is awesome. I'm hearing the alerts in the back of my head. Go, fire away. Yeah. Next question, apart from Pizza Hut and traumatic birthday memories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, last one, music. I take the lead on this one, music for me is I like songs rather than specific genres or anything. I mean, there are groups and bands and singers that I like. And I'm probably, as I think, I don't know a lot of kids, but for me, I feel like I'm influenced by what I listen to, what my parents listen to, when I grow up. And even though I was a bit, what is this? What is this then? Yeah, I want to listen to what's on the radio when I'm 15. Now I listen to Elton John and I listen to Billy Joel and Queen and John Farnham and things that were playing in my house when I was growing up. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I remember picking up a cassette from a place called Sundale. So there was an old shopping mall that is now it's now houses. I think it's a Meriton developed houses. It was called Sundale Shopping Center on the Gold Coast. And I remember going with my dad to like a record shop and picking up a cassette for like the Blue Oyster Cult. And my dad had all these cassettes and these vinyls. Like I didn't like ZZ Top, you know, and he had the Tour of Duty, like vinyl and cassette. And I grew up with music. It's like, I have a really eclectic taste because of that. I was always around it. There was always music playing in my house. I would listen to like American Top 40 with Shadow Stevens on the Saturday or Sunday nights on the radio. I worked in radio for over a decade. So music just been always around me. I've got to interview heaps of DJs and music artists. And, you know, now I just find like I get some 80s stuff in my head. Like my school did a Back to the 80s musical. Our senior students did. And it was awesome. And those songs that came up, and then I find myself just listening to like these 80s songs. So I'll put on like Mark Ronson. I mean, I've been diving Mark Ronson all of a sudden out of nowhere lately. And I think I grew up a bit. For me, obviously, I think it comes back to basketball again. I kind of grew up on hip hop and R&B.
Yeah.
Like you find yourself in that niche, because I always loved my rock and roll. I love rock and I still do. But at the same time, like I've always loved that street side of, I just got it. Like I listened to it and it's cool and I appreciated the beats. And yeah, man, I think if you love music, you can just appreciate everything.
Yeah.
Like movies, just appreciate good stuff. Or the one thing I've never been into was like screamo. Like I can't understand what you're saying.
Yeah. 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 I think I'm the same. I just like music. I have it on all the time and it's, for me, a lot of songs I like because they remind me of something in my life. Like I can remember when I first heard that song, or I have this song was, I associate it with a girlfriend that I had, or I associate it with a road trip for basketball. Or so a lot of songs do that. They're very nostalgic. And that's why I like things like Stranger Things, the TV show, because the that they play. And I like a lot of music, and much like you, growing up '90s, early '90s, very influenced by American culture with the NBA and
100%.
So a lot of Cypress Hill, NWA, those
hits from the bone.
Yeah, so those old school hip hop rap, early Snoop Dogg, listened to a lot of that growing up as well. So
and I love live music as well, and I've pretty much now seen everyone on my bucket list of big artists that my favorite artists I've pretty much seen, and I get their set list. So I've got like a really cool little like collection of like printed outs, because I go up and I get the set list at the end, and I get to either to meet them and to sign them. And got Leon Bridges with my wife last year, because I love Leon Bridges' work. I've got Kanye West. I've got the Kooks. I've got Brian Wilson from Beach Boys, because I love the Beach Boys growing up, from my dad. So I got to see him at the Sydney Opera House. I've got Lauryn Hill's set list. So I've got some really cool, like just diverse ones. I got like Coldplay. I've seen like live like six times, because I watched them when they were just coming out.
Yeah.
And I've seen them at I remember their Parachutes tour. I saw a friend of mine, Sharon, was just a rookie reporter at the Gold Coast Bulletin. She was like, I'm just trying to get media passes to go and watch this band Coldplay. And so I was like, all right, cool, I'll go with you. So we drove to Brisbane, because I had the car and she didn't have a car.
Yeah.
And I watched Coldplay from this media booth and this little festival hall thing. But I've seen them like 10, 12 years down the track playing at ANZ Stadium in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then I've got this little sideshow that they played. They did a thing for Nova, and there was like 200 people in the room, and they played like songs there. So, you know, I just love good music. I saw Taylor Swift live this year, like incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love music. I love going to live music, like Tenacious D live, Childish Gambino live, like whatever I can get, I go.
Yeah, we try to get to a concert or two a year. Yep. I don't know what we've got. Oh, we're seeing Roxette next year, which at a day on the green. So that'll be good. The day on the green is always nice.
Yeah, that's a great one. I saw who was it? It was Alicia Keys, supported by John Legend.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was a really cool show at like Hunter Valley. So
yeah, that's
like
where we're going. Yeah, to the Hunter Valley to see it. So
and again, I grew up on the Gold Coast. So yeah. I had the big day out in my backyard. So yeah. I got to grow up with, you know, going to see like some of the greatest bands of all time. And funnily enough, after my wife and I got engaged, we're going to go out to like a day in the green to watch Red Hot Chili Peppers. But it was actually the night they were playing. I wanted to go and see them. And I knew like when I was going to do the engagement, like and ask her like months in advance. And I'm like, oh, damn. All right. We woke up the next morning and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were staying at the hotel that I took her back to that night and staying. And we got to walk past and Flea was there with Anthony Kiedis. And Flea was wearing a Lakers hat.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and LeBron had just like, they had just won the championship the year before through the COVID times. And I was just like, hey man. And I ended up talking to like randomly Flea in the hotel thing, like randomly the next day. And it was like so much cooler than actually going to the show the night before. And I'm like, this is going to be my wife. It was pretty cool. It was really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It was cool. It was like really like, and he was like, so like that guy knows basketball.
Yeah.
Like he is a deep Lakers fan. Like he is like, you see him on the sideline. You know, when you get like the Jack Nicholsons and the people on the sideline.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes.
Okay.
Man, he is like, they're like, he's Australian born, but been in that LA region for years.
Yeah.
Dude, his knowledge of every single, he basically, we went through just talking basketball. He went through the roster and he's like, just wow, just really cool, like acumen for the game of watching players. It was really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
Well, my cats, as predicted, are going troppo and running around the house. So,
are they top 12 picks? Are top 12 picks projected this year?
I wouldn't pick them at all. I'd leave them on the waiver wire. Yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
What they're doing in there. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, I'll let you go. Insight. What's coming up on Insight over the next
couple of
months leading into the season?
Mate, heaps. We've got a Patreon starting up where you can get on there and do the whole Patreon thing. We've got our big draft boards. This is huge. I'll send you a copy of it when we're done, Kingy. You can have it for free. We've got myself, Skitty, Matrix, and Mally, we've all done our consensus big. We've done our big board for, I think, 16 rounds, 12-team league. So it just goes over our first 200 picks or who we're picking across the wire for the first 200 each. And then that comes with player profiles of 250 players. As well as then it's merged into one file, which is a consensus file, which takes all of our individual picks from the four of us, merges it into one document so you can actually get our consensus top 200 picks, which has been pretty huge. That's coming up. That's gets released this week as like you can buy it now, but it comes out the 5th of August once, you know, shit like Kyrie Irving's hand doesn't break. Got some pods with Dan Titus coming up from Yahoo later this week. And then a summer league recap with Skitty early next week as well, man.
Yeah, good. It's a bit of a quiet time, but there's still plenty to talk about. And I feel like we're moving into next season earlier and earlier every year. So, which is great.
Are you where is our number one pick, Alex Sarr, sitting with you right now after today?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't. Obviously, we saw a bit of him here in Australia when he played for Perth, but he didn't get big minutes. He wasn't playing starters minutes, which is not uncommon for those young guys. LaMelo Ball only played sort of low 20s.
18 to 20s,
So not surprising. Oh, look, I mean, today was particularly bad, so he's not going to go 0 of 15. But in saying that, I don't know. I was looking at him, and I did a show with Noah Rubin this morning, and we talked.
That's right. I saw that. Yeah.
We were talking about Summer League and players, and we had someone in the chat asked about Kalel Ware.
Kalel Ware, Heat. Yeah.
And
love it.
And so I sort of think
pissed off. By the way, just shout out to Dan Titus again for this. Hate you, Dan. You took my Kalel Ware pick in our dynasty league. So
he did. Yeah, nice.
He did. I was very mad. Go on.
So I sort of compare, I guess, Saar to Ware. They're similar types of players. They're sort of long. They're tall. They're a little bit raw.
Yep.
But for me, Ware looks better at this
he point. He does.
Offensively, anyway. I just think
he looks composed.
Like he does. So, I'm not going to say I'm concerned about Alex Saar because he's still very young. He's going to get plenty of opportunity in Washington. And he's also he's playing the five at Summer League. So, I think they're going to start him at the four alongside Valanciunas. So
that's you would going think to so. Him,
yeah. So I'm not too concerned. Look, it's Summer League. I mean, Cam Whitmore was one of 15 or something yesterday. 15, yeah. And who cares? Yeah. Like, you don't pay any attention. So I'm not too worried. But yeah, look, I am. It's been interesting to just compare him and Kalel Ware, and I think Ware looks far more composed, ready to go. But potentially Saar has more upside, and I'm not a dynasty expert, so not really my place to say. But
my boy, the booze bus. That's my nickname for Buzelis, by the way. The booze bus.
Yeah.
He's looking so good.
He looked all right today. Yep.
Yeah, the booze bus is looking consistent. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for jumping on. I'm sure we'll have some shows coming up at some point in the next whatever.
We will. We've got our Thursday show to come back. Love that
show. Yeah. Yeah. We'll probably start rolling that out probably early August. So maybe 2 weeks. I think.
Yeah.
I think there'll be stuff to talk about by then. So.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, no, I will let you go and spend some time with your wife.
Thank you so much.
See what the score in the State of Origin is. I'm not confident at all that New South Wales will win, but who knows?
Do you want to know live on air?
Yeah, all right, let's do a live check.
Here we go. Match center, State of Origin, game 3. I'm a Queenslander, so this for me is
okay.
Jesus, Mother Mary and Joseph. We're 42 minutes in and it's 2-0.
Right. Tight game. 2-0. To who? Who's winning?
2-0, Queensland. The Maroons are up 2-0 after 42 minutes of football.
We haven't missed much.
This is an absolute.
We've
missed nothing. There is nothing.
Plenty of defence.
Plenty of defence. Mate, get out of here, Kingy. Thank you so much.
All right, I'll go and watch that. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We'll have a lot more of these coming out. I've got some really cool guests lined up. Like, subscribe, head over to Discord. Our draft-only leagues have already kicked off, so you can jump in there. $5, I think. You can win about 60 or 70 if you end up winning. So jump in there and join the league or six or however many you want to join. That will do
feel
episode.
Quick. Get on them.
Until
next
time.
They feel really quick. Get on them. Yeah, they feel real quick. Get on that.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.